All right. Well, today we're right before Valentine's Day, and it seems like it's almost people talk about love in February. And I don't know, I did that last year, not the whole month, but you know, it's a good topic to visit on a consistent basis. The Bible says that God is love, and you know, the more we get to know of God, and the more we know what God really, His attitude towards us, His just everything we were even saying in the prayer, His hopes and dreams, everything. If we really, I think, got a hold more, each of us, we just have a glimpse, I think, of how much God really cares for us. We've heard things, you know, we know what Jesus did on the cross, but I think we're just barely plumbing the depths of what God really, what His attitude really is towards us, that He loves us so much more than we can know or imagine. You know, you've probably had this feeling towards your children, or if not, you've spoken it, that when they're growing up in little, that you tell them you love them, but you can't really even know how much I really love you. And they can't. They really can't comprehend what it is to have a child until they've had one, you know, themselves, that they're looking up at you and they don't understand much about life. They don't understand everything you understand. They don't understand the things you actually do for them, that all the stuff you did for them when they couldn't take care of themselves, all the things you continue to do for them. And even when they're adults, I'm sure, you know, I've spoken to my parents and they just say, you know, when your kids are, they're never away from you. You know, you always have the sense of where are they, what are they doing now? And, you know, our Father God is like that. He loves us more, even though we're adults and we have a concept of what it's like to love a child. He has billions of children. He is on a level so much higher than we are, and we don't understand, I don't think, how much God really loves us, and that's what our life is about, getting closer to Him and really knowing how much He cares for us, and to get deeper into that relationship. And as we learn how much more He loves us, that makes us more secure on this earth. That makes us more secure in our relationships with others, because we know that number one relationship with our Father, the one we are created to have, is secure. And as we know how much He really cares for us, in the way He cares for us, what it means, what love means from His perspective, the more secure we are, and the higher we function on this earth. I mean, when you get down to it, people function, whether they put it in these words or not, they function based on how much love they experience given in their own life, whether it's their attitude towards themselves, whether it's their support system. You know, you think about people that they would not call themselves Christians. They're still tapping into certain principles that are godly principles. If a person's successful in life and has a good self-image and esteem and whatever, they've told themselves that they're okay somewhere along the line. They begin to make good decisions that will help them. They've somebody told them, or they came to it themselves, that I'm worthwhile. I'm a good person. I have good things to offer. My opinion's valid. I have something to bring to the table, and I'm not going to let other people have a low opinion of me. Well, those are all things that really stem from the truth, the reality that God created us, and God created us, because God created us, we were created to worship Him and have a relationship with Him, and He knows who we are. So we are important. We are significant. We have something to offer because He created us that way. And that's the truth. These other things are kind of a subset of the truth that people tap in and realize if you believe well about yourself, and they realize if you come to realize that human life is significant, everybody is important, that people get along and people relate well to each other, well, that's a subset of what the reality is that God is love. God created us with a purpose, and that the one, the Almighty, that has billions and billions of children loves us. That's the truth. If we, that's the thing that will make us secure and successful in life and at peace, less stress, all the things that people and mankind that we deal with, It's all rooted. Our whole foundation is that we have a God who created us, that loves us, who from whom all life flows. And the more that centerpiece becomes real to us, life, I think, becomes everything it should be. And so, you know, when we talk about love, it's pretty obvious that the world has a twisted view of what love really is. It's more emotion, it's more feeling, it's more really somebody becomes the object of love, or you make me feel good, so I love you in the same way I love steak or I love pizza. I love it because it feels good. I mean, it's almost come to the point where I love you, talking to your spouse, the concept some people have is, so I love you, so I'm going to buy you all these things, and that's what signifies that I love you. Whether or not I treat you nice, or whether or not I actually do the mundane things in life, or do the things where I really show that I actually put you ahead of myself, and I treat you the way I would want to be treated. That's love. That's what we're going to talk about today. I mean, that's the basic definition of love, is the golden rule. Treating somebody else the way you would want to be treated. And in God's estimation, I mean, it goes so much further than that. God has treated us in the ultimate, the right way. He believes in us. He'll never give up on us. He never thinks poorly of us. Doesn't mean we're perfect. He doesn't know things that could be changed. But he's never going to throw us by the side. He will do the best thing for us in any given situation, which is another definition. Jesus always went around. You think about it. In different situations, he handled them differently. But he always did the thing that was most beneficial to the other person. He wasn't a robot. He didn't do the same thing every time. But he did the thing that was most beneficial to the other person. He did what needed to be done, what was the best action in that situation. That's love. God does that in every situation with us. He is always out for our good. It may not seem like it. I mean, life is not always easy. And if we're going to follow God, he knows what's inside of us. He knows what we're capable. He's the ultimate teacher. A teacher doesn't necessarily let, you know, a student, even though there's some uncomfortable things they might have to learn or go, they might have to go through some discomfort to realize their full potential. God is not going to put us in situations that are going to harm us or anything like that. But as we follow God, he's going to bring us up and up and up. And growing is not always easy. But God, the more we're on the foundation and we're led by the Spirit and we realize, no, this is what God wanted me to do, then when it gets uncomfortable, we can look and say, wait a minute, this might be uncomfortable, but I know I was being led by God to get here. And therefore, I have a trust in God. He loves me. So this is uncomfortable, but I know I'm going somewhere. I know God is helping me. I know he's bringing me through this. There's been religion has twisted that to think God is controlling everything. So if something bad happens to you, it's God testing you somehow. That's not the case. We've touched on this before and just a few weeks ago. Just because something bad happens in our life, that doesn't mean God is orchestrating it to teach us something. It means that we live in a fallen world. And in spite of the fallen world that we live in, God is still loving us. And he's saying, look, this world is not the way it was supposed to be. Adam fell. We're dealing with the repercussions of that. Yet, that's why I sent Jesus, to redeem the world. That's why I've sent a way so that you can prosper in spite of all this. And so as we walk through, when something comes in our pathway and it's not easy, we can still look to him and say, no, but God loves me and he has the way through this. And he might have known something like this was coming. It's not that he orchestrated it. He knows we live in this world. He knows I was going to face this, but he knows the answer and he knows how to get me through it and the other side. And that when I come out the other side, I'm going to be stronger. But there's a difference. He didn't put the thing in my path to make me stronger. He knew that because I'm in this world, things are just going to happen because it's in this world. But he knew that he had the answer. So by going through that, he brings me out on the other side. But there's a difference. He didn't like arbitrarily put me in something that he set up like this big, you know, sideshow like we've talked about, like it's just some fake thing. No, He is our answer in this fallen world. But the more secure we get in that he loves us, that he always is esteeming us and believing in us, then in any situation, we don't look at him and go, why did you put me in this situation? We say, God, I'm in this situation, but I know you're on my side. I can't fail. You're going to bring me through. I believe that I was supposed to make this decision in life. This decision has resulted in me being in this situation. But this situation, I know that you are more than enough in, I'm on a pathway to go higher, and I choose to just follow you and trust you. Because let's face it, there's always things that are uncomfortable about growth and getting further in life. It's not easy, but God knows what's inside of us. He knows where we're going. He wants us to reach our full potential. But we always just keep in mind that He is on my side and I can trust him. He's not abandoned me, even though it may look like it. Maybe I'm feeling like I'm stretched beyond what I can handle. My God is still there, loving me, being there for me. And it's not that way. He will never let us down. He is never going to fail. He is faithful. So he is still right there helping me, even when it looks like I've been stretched further than I can handle because of whatever I'm going through. He's still there. And we just look to him. We look to our strength in him. Now, I don't care what it looks like. God's still a good God, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. God, you love me. You're not going. See, think about it. A good parent, would they ever put their child in some situation, if you love them, where they're going to be humiliated, where they're going to, we would never put them in a situation and just abandon them and say, well, we'll see what you do now. That would be somebody that we would not trust. If we thought they would do that, we would say, we never know if they're really on our side. They may just abandon me at the wrong time. See, the enemy will come and try to say certain things like that to us instead of relying on the fact that, no, God's love. God will do the right thing for me. So it may look like I've been abandoned, but see, that's smoke and mirrors. That's the circumstance on this earth. God is still there, loving me, helping me. And if the more I believe that, the more I get a hold of that, then I trust him. And then I boldly go, look, I can't see or feel anything here. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I am stretched. But right at that point, see, it's like we're going up steps and we've run in the wall. We don't know how to get past it. But then he lifts us up to this new level. And now we're walking and we can see. And we can see how he was working right there. And he wasn't faithless. He knew that was coming, but he knew a way around it. And now we're at a higher level and we're stronger and we're better in life. And we have more faith in God's character and we have more faith in his love. And we walk at a higher level. And then we come to another thing like that. But that's what life is. We keep doing that. But God is love. This love that he has for us is not fickle. It's not emotional like what we've been told. It's not, oh, I love you on Valentine's Day and then it goes by. It's not like that. This love that he has for us is what Jesus showed us on the cross. That was love. When he is there bleeding, when he is there, not because he had to be, when he is there with that crown of thorns, they're completely beat up and all for our sake. He's doing the thing that has to be done for us. If he would have said, the heck with it, we would have no hope with the Father. But he said, he made the decision in the midst of all that to love us. That is love. That's not flowery. That doesn't have a bunch of hearts around it. That doesn't have all the things that the world would say. But that is love. That is putting us ahead of himself. This mind that even though he is the king of the universe, he looked at us and said, you are worth it to me. In the midst of all this, I am going to put you first. I'm going to make a way for you. So how much more now in our life we can trust him. We can trust that he did not do that, make that sacrifice on the cross. And then all of a sudden in our normal life, he's just going to give up on us. Oh, now, you know, we just haven't been doing everything right. And we haven't, you know, done all the things to the point that we think we should, which is perfection. We know what we should do, but we're not doing a good job. So somehow we can get the idea that now we're going through a tough time. You know, God led you here. As far as you know, God led us to this situation. We're going through something, yet the situation does not look good. And we're tempted to think that somehow God doesn't really have our back and doesn't really love us. But when we think about what love is and what God really did for us on that cross, we look back to that. Wait a minute, this is a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Jesus already proved it once and for all that he loves me. He's with me then, he's with me now. He loved me before I was ever born. Then whatever I'm doing right now, he knew I was going to blow it at times. He knew I wasn't going to be perfect. He knew I had things to work out and grow through, but he is helping me right now. And our confidence can just go up in him. And that in turn helps us to love other people then. It helps us to esteem other people because we look to Jesus. Now, I wanted to read, it's a long introduction, but I wanted to read a few scriptures. If you'll turn to Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Or actually, we're going to read more than that, but Philippians 2, 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, humbleness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own or his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's what we started out saying. I mean, that is what love is esteeming others better than ourselves and looking out for other people's interests. But how can we do that? See, people, the world would tell you even that that's what you're supposed to do, but the foundation it rests on is because of what Jesus did for us and that love he's shown for us. Just like a good father. See, as a parent, we all know we're supposed to do this, and you've heard it, that kids do what you do, they don't do what you tell them to do. It's the truth, and it's a humbling experience to go through that. You see, you're trying to get this through to the kid, but he's doing what you do. Well, Jesus, God is no different. God didn't just tell us what to do, a bunch of do's and don'ts. He showed us the way. Jesus showed us what needed to be done. And then that's what Paul's saying here is that I want you to have that same love. And that's what he's going to say here in verse 5. We're just going to read a few verses of what Jesus did. He said, let this mind be in you, or attitude, another in like the NIV, let this attitude be with you that Jesus had, who being in the form of God, he's God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then he goes on, which we're not going to read. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, you obey and you act this way. Therefore, because of what Jesus did, you act this way. He kind of sandwiched what Jesus did in between telling them what they should do. He said, this is what you should do, like Jesus did. And because of what Jesus did, now this is what you should do. See, he's going back to what Jesus did and saying, he started out this chapter saying that he wants us to have the same love that we saw in Jesus, this same attitude that we saw in Jesus, this same thing. And what does he say that is in verse 3? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. See, that is love. That is when we go through life And we can get outside of ourselves and actually act on the behalf of other people. Truly. Not out of selfish ambition or conceit, like he said. Not because we're supposed to, because somebody told us. Because if we're doing it because somebody told us we're supposed to, and that it buys us something with God, or it buys us something with man. Like, you know, a lot of religions, you have to do this because it's going to grant you salvation. Or you do this because, you know, this is the way, this is what you should do in good and right, and this is what we do in this church. So when you do those things, you get the accolades of man, because this is what we do. And aren't you a good Christian because you're doing these things and you're showing up for church or doing everything. And we act like we're doing it in love. That's not love. That's through selfish ambition. That's conceit. That's what he's saying here. Don't do this. It's not love when you're doing it for yourself, even if it's good stuff. Over in Corinthians, it said, if I have faith that I can move mountains, if I do all these things, but I don't do it in love, it's like, you know, clanging brass and cymbals, all that stuff. It's the same thing. He's saying, do this stuff, the same mind, esteeming others better than yourself, and humble yourself. Let's just read verse 3 and 4 again. Well, let's just go back to verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Have the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. And in the NIV it says humbleness. In humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he goes on to say, let the mind, the attitude of Jesus be in you. So he's saying, look, this is what love looks like. This is what you should do, not because it buys you anything, but because you're putting other people first. Now, how would you know how to do that? And then he says, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus showed us. He gave it all for us. And because of that foundation, that we know that God Almighty is our source, that He created us, that He loved us so much that He gave His only Son for us. And Jesus, even though He was God, counted Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself, made Himself like a bondservant. The man, the God-man that had all power, came and said, you know what? I'm going to do this for you. The one that had all strength, all power, all knowledge, put himself under these human beings, us included, became our servant, and showed us the way. So when we are dealing with the people around us, whether it be our coworkers or whether it be our spouse or whatever, true love is not doing a bunch of external things. True love is putting them in front of us, not putting us, making us a doormat. I mean, not putting their needs in front of ours at the expense of ours, like ours just, you know, don't mean anything, but choosing to put the other person, whatever will help that other person first, not because it will buy us anything, but in true, wanting, caring for that other person. True love for that other person. True affection for that other person, not because it's going to buy us anything. And even when it's tough, and even when it doesn't, it's not good on our flesh, and not, it doesn't help us, we look back to God and say, you know what, God, this is what you said to do. I'm going to walk in love with this person, not because I'm so great, because you're so great and you showed me. If you can do it, if anybody is intelligent, if anybody has power, if anybody has esteem and prestige, whatever, it's you. Yet you thought it was worth it to put yourself under these people. Now, me, however high I am in life and however much knowledge and everything I have, because I know I'm following you and because I know I can trust you and you are showing me this example, then in this situation, I can follow your example and just love these people around me. And just get along and esteem other people better than myself. And that is when the true love of Christ, the true love of God will show through in our lives, is when people know. people know when we're doing something for ourselves or when we're truly treating them, we're doing it out of concern for them. I've said this before, we know, every one of us knows when we deal with people, you know if somebody's doing something nice for you because it benefits them and you're just something, you're kind of a pawn, or they're actually doing it for you. They didn't have to do it. They're going out of their way for you. Every one of us, that affects us in a different way. When you see that in action, you say, the person was really nice. That person was kind. That person did something. They didn't have to do that. That was really nice. That brightens up your day. Well, that's what we're supposed to be, is just conduits of that kind of love. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to go out of your way like that. Not again, to win ourselves, not so everybody will say that. Because then, that again, that's the wrong motive. But because we truly are living this life, that we look to God and we're so thankful for what He did and amazed at what He did, and that we can trust Him in our life. We've seen ourselves go through things over and over, like we started out saying, and that He keeps bringing us up, but every time He's faithful. And every time we thought something didn't look quite right and we were wondering, how is this going to work out for my benefit? But it did, because He's faithful and He has never let us down. So because we have that foundation and we know Him, and we know what love looks like because we see it in our life, then we can freely give it to the people around us. No strings attached. Not even because we're a Christian. Not even so they'll say, well, you're a Christian, so that's really nice. I mean, really, we just do it. They don't even have to know we're a Christian. We're just letting God's love flow through us and then letting God take the care of the rest. If they ask us something or if they find out, let God do it. Not that we're not supposed to say anything. We're led by the Spirit in things like that. But my point is, if we're doing it with this agenda that, well, then I'll do that to kind of try to win them over to be a Christian, then we're kind of doing it for, it's not really for their benefit. It is, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? We want to be totally just genuine there. Just let, hey, I love you regardless. I ever see you again, I'm just going to do this because it benefits you. That is that love that people get all woo-woo about on Valentine's Day, but they don't even know that's what the true thing is. That's the truth that they're looking for. We've all seen it put down in books as an ideal, in stories. We've all seen it put down in movies where somebody, wow, that was a real nice act. Or, you know, these ideal things, people know what it should be like. The thing is, it was exemplified in Jesus. And that's the whole thing, is that we just want to live that life that, wait, man, we're actually living that type of life. We don't have to go to a story or see it in a movie that, wow, there's people like that actually exist. Yeah, because their source is God and it's flowing through. And what they're really looking for, of course, is their creator, is God. They know it's out there. So they make these ideas, but it's already been shown. It's Jesus. That's who it's God. God is that thing that everybody's looking for. There must be that perfection and that somebody really caring for no other reason but for me. Not for selfish reasons, but for me. We know everybody in their deepest parts knows that's out there. So they make all these things and all these romantic things and all that and try to make that love and see this idealistic that has to be out there. But what they're really looking for is what we have, is what we, whether we know it or not, every one of us is growing in the ability, I think, that we know it. Like what I start out saying, that we're realizing how much we actually already have of that. That God really loves us, period. That He's doing things for our benefit, period. That He wants to help us, period. And that as we get more and more hold of that, as we plumb the depths of that, it just like greases the skids to where it just flows out of us. And then love is not this big thing that we have to do, that this big, you know, Christian thing that, well, we better walk in love. No, it just is. Paul's not telling you better do this. He told them how to do it, that we look at God and then it just flows. It flows out of us. It's not this do's and don'ts that, boy, you better walk in love. It's impossible without knowing the source and knowing Him. Thank God. Thank God. Christianity, I don't know. I think it's just been clouded so much by religion and these do's and don'ts, and we've separated from the source. And when we get back to the source and what Jesus has really done, then the Bible makes so much more sense. When we realize these commands Paul is not giving, everywhere that I see that he's talking about doing something, it's always going back to what Jesus has done. So you do this. Jesus has done this, so you do this. He never says you just do this. Unless it's already understood that it's because of what Jesus has done. It's not, and when we strip out Jesus and we start just leaving and have the do's and don'ts, that's religion. That's when we don't have Jesus anymore. We don't have the source. It's just, we don't have love. Because we don't have the source of love. We don't have the source that we were created, the way we were created to work. It's not there. And so love becomes some idealistic term that's in the dictionary and that's on movies and that we celebrate in February, but it doesn't really mean anything because it's separated from the source. So it's all a bunch of meaningless, you know, jargon, and nobody knows, and then people get cynical. People said they loved me, but they didn't love me, and it just all gets confused, and then it all becomes complex where the simplicity is just going back to Jesus and what he did and what he said to do based on what he did. And it all flows. And then our lives, like we said, just we're not looking to ourselves like, oh, I should behave that way. When we feel like we should behave that way, we have to look at what has Jesus already done. So he said, I could behave this way, so I'm going to freely behave that way. We can just, you know, we start going back. And it's a process, and we're all going through it. We're all at different levels, and we'll do that till we die. But that, you know, the more we remind ourselves of the simplicity of it, I think the higher we grow, the more we grow, the closer we get to being like him. Amen.